I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a highlight or our year that we have to do to perform at the end of the season here in November and over the beach tomorrow. We cannot wait to perform for you and see you out there. Please bring in the energy you have the last couple days. Anytime we get to hear it over the radio, it gets us fired up. With that, 2025 Blue Angels.
That, of course, was Blue Angel 1, the boss, Commander Adam Bryant, at the Friday night reception at the Hilton that they put together every year before the Blue Angels air show. Or actually, it's kind of in the middle because it's after the dress rehearsal, but before the Saturday show, and it's always a good time. I saw somebody there that was kind of, a lot of people go to this thing. It's always fun every year. I saw somebody there that was the first time I had seen him there, and it was kind of cool to see him. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman, who joins us by phone right now. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. What an event. I mean, if I had my fire marshal's hat on, we would have asked the people to leave. That place was packed.
It was well attended. But that was your first time going to the reception, right?
It was. I had been to the air show years ago, but that's the first time I had been to the reception. And, you know, my boys got to meet some of the Blue Angels and, you know, just a lot of great community folks there. And but for a weekend of just support for the Blues and the destination and just you know, patriotism. What a great experience for my family.
One of the things that I love about that event is that they celebrate all the civilian acts because they are so important to the air show industry and to our air show as well. I also love they celebrate all the enlisted and the maintainers who all get to, many of whom get to go. I will tell people, I'll tell on you just a little bit because it was kind of funny. The Blue Angels are always surrounded by a little circle of people that want to meet them, and there's always a line to meet any of the Blue Angels. There was also a circle in line to meet our congressman, Jimmy Petronas. There were people waiting in line to meet him, too. So he was the other local celebrity.
But the kind of the crazy thing was, is, you know, when you have somebody who spends, you know, $6 million trying to destroy you out there, throwing your face in, you know, ugly ways all over, you know, TV and radio, you know, people start to recognize you a little bit more. So, I mean, I was kind of a poster child there for a while for what my opponent hated in life. So, anyway, thank goodness that there was more that liked me than did like me.
No,
so,
that's absolutely. It was neat.
Good people.
Agreed. And you guys, I guess you were at a hotel. You got to watch it. You thought I'm assuming you thought the air show was amazing, right? Since you said you'd been a few years since you've seen it.
Yeah. You know, so I'm assuming I didn't like see her run a show, but I don't know if that was the Red Bull helicopter that came out or what, but, you know, came out, did a total 360, which, you
yes.
know, still I think is, you know, mathematically impossible to pull off, but it did. And then the stunt pilots, those guys, I think they truly have no fear. You know, what they were doing, you know, out there over the Gulf was unbelievable.
It was. And I think you're right. I think it was Red Bull who pulled the full barrel roll. I'm like, the what now? You know, and then when they do that stuff, you probably grew up in the Blue Thunder era where, you know, you can't roll a helicopter. Right. But, you know, well, we did.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, speaking of the Blue Angels, you actually filed a bill last week. It's been a lot in the news. I know our news department's covering it. The bill is designed to protect NAS Pensacola as being the home of the Blue Angels. It's part of the NDAA, if I'm not mistaken. Has that been enacted? And also, how strong of a protection is that? Because, of course, I love it, but I also worry that, you know, some enterprising congressperson from some other place might try to repeal that same thing in the future under more adverse circumstances. But you tell me.
So a few things. One, it's just extra belt and suspenders to keep it in place. Perfect example with the Big Beautiful Bill. John Cornyn had placed in it an amendment. Now, I'm not sure if this amendment got stripped out. I think it ultimately did. But he had put an amendment in the Big Beautiful Bill, I think with an appropriation of about $20 million, to move the space shuttle from the museum at Washington Dulles Airport and move the space shuttle to Texas.
Oh.
So, I mean, with just as simple with a piece of legislative act, you can take something that's a fixture or a component or an element of one, you know, government owned and operated facility and move it to another one if the law instructs you to do it. So I think it's important that you just put a little bit of extra emphasis, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a way to fire people up to ensure that there's enthusiasm for the Blues. There has been efforts from Jacksonville. There's been efforts from San Diego. There's been efforts from Texas. I mean, there's places that would cut off the right arm to be able to have the Blues in their own backyard as their home. So, you know, we're going to be able to secure a little bit more money for repairing the for the hangar. The hangar is in terrible shape. And, again, just make sure their home is always Pensacola.
Yeah, no, I good to see the funding. Good to see the Blues getting even a little bit more protection to stay here, because certainly, you know, every once in a while it comes up as a subject of, you know, this could happen. And we're all like, you know, and it's part of the motivation to make sure that Escambia County stays a very, very military and Navy friendly place. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. By the way, you scared me a little when you said that the senator was thinking about moving the, you know, shuttle Discovery from the Udvar-Hazy. Because that's a great display. I love that. And we just saw that a couple, you know, within the last year, basically. This hasn't gotten an awful lot of attention, but I think it's important. You were working on a bill. I can't remember if you sponsored it or if you were just a co-signer. H.R. 3902, Restoring Federalism in Clean Water Permitting Act. Can you explain this bill? Because I think it's important, and I don't think it got almost any attention, really. But since we have you on, I wanted to have you talk about it a little bit.
Well, the good thing about it is even the governor brought it up with the president a little bit over a week ago at his tour in South Florida at Alligator Alcatraz. State of Florida had been given delegation. That means we have been given authority to do what are called dredge and fill permits. So sometimes in Florida, you know, you may be developing a site, whether it be a wastewater treatment plant, a school, a hotel, a hospital, you name it. And if there's something wet on the site, you have to offset that wet with a mitigation plan. So we had the ability to manage all of that in-house in the state of Florida. Federal judge had struck it because of some language dealing with the Endangered Species Act that ultimately took that away from us. Meanwhile, the Corps of Engineers, who was the original authority over those permits, then had to go back to doing their old job. The Corps of Engineers does not have the ability anymore because they basically said, look, since the state of Florida is doing it, we don't have to worry about the manpower to manage those permits anymore. Well, now they're getting themselves overwhelmed because all the backlog of permits now are being handled by a skeleton crew. So we're trying to create some common sense, some streamlining language with some deadlines where we're telling the federal government, look, review this process. You know, if the federal government is going to retain this process, then we're going to put a timeline in place where those permits have to be issued. And so it's either like kind of put up or shut up. You're going to do it and put the resources in it and take the program back over. If you're not, Florida's ready to take it right back over again.
It sort of reminds me of a couple of years back when we had the backlog in concealed carry permits, and there was an effort to make a bill, as I recall. I don't think it passed in the end, but the effort was to force the agriculture secretary to issue the permit unless they can show that it needs to be held after a certain period of time. And it sounds like that same kind of thing with the Army Corps getting overwhelmed. You're basically saying, look, it's fine, but we can't let an inadequate bureaucracy thwart these hospitals and wastewater treatment plants and all of that just because of the timeline. Is that basically how I'm understanding this?
That's basically it. You know, because, I mean, the permitting process, I mean, I think these agencies have oversight. They're well-intended, but they do get overwhelmed. But, you know, but I've totally been in meetings before with them, and you can see where they also, at time to time, individuals will have their own agendas. So, you know, we're basically saying we're going to create some predictability. The soft cost when it comes into doing a school or a wastewater treatment plant, they're already high enough. But now if you drag it out for another 6-8 months, a year, then sometimes you make these projects not even, you know, fiscally warranting the investment. And for some people, that's a win.
Right.
But when you're talking about things like the reservoir down at the Everglades that have been you know, statutorily assigned to build in order to help, you know, keep the Everglades clean, and you can't build those projects, then, you know, it has an adverse effect on the environment.
Most definitely. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I don't, you know, again, I don't think it's gotten a lot of coverage, and I know it's something you were closely involved in. I wanted to talk about it for a second. You mentioned it a moment ago. Alligator Alcatraz is, of course, big in the news right now. A bunch of Democrats went and visited the facility. Two questions for you, Congressman Petronas. One is, have you visited that facility? And I don't assume you had. It's way outside of your particular area, of course. But the second question is, there's been, you know, the governor had talked about the possibility of opening one of those somewhere in the panhandle maybe as well. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard anything about that?
No, yes, I heard the rumor. I think it was me based on the success of how Alligator Alcatraz was performing. It's you had county jails that a couple things were happening. One, some of the county jails were getting filled with illegals that weren't supposed to be here. And the county jails and the county are saying, hey, who's paying my bills to feed and house these folks and their health care?
Yeah.
So the state really needed to come up with some type of a solution, and that's where this came in. The federal government, you know, is enthusiastic about the project, but again, I think if something like this is going to be needed moving forward, then we're going to put everything on the table, I think, from even kind of repurposing maybe even a wing at a current state prison. I think there's a number of things that we will revisit in order to try to make something like this happen. The convenience down there is you have the ability to house them, feed them, you know, kind of minimal with the type of fencing that you would need, because it is in the middle of the Everglades, even though it is a secure facility, but then you had the ability to fly them out at the same place.
You know, it's an interesting point you make about the cost share, because we've had several times the conversation has come up, particularly in the Escambia County Commission meeting. I don't think it's come up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, if I remember correctly, where getting reimbursed by the state or the feds for prisoners that we have in our jail has been a real problem. And, you know, that's funding, like you say, that's funding that the county is having to outlay for somebody else's incarceree. And so if that's a problem, then creating a facility like this is actually a way of clarifying the funding and also alleviating the pressure on some of your local governments. And I had not been thinking about that dimension of it, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Last thing,
yeah.
I want to go ahead.
It's real, but I'm not trying to stir it up. I mean, look, I think you definitely seen a lot of attention being brought to this particular issue, but it does cost money. And if we're going to continue to operate these facilities, then I think we also need to try to think outside of the box. And if we've got the ability to kind of repurpose an existing facility, you know, do some personnel management, I think there's probably a cheaper cost per inmate type of, solution that's on the table too.
Last thing I wanted to ask you is, last hour we had a really extensive conversation. Gallup does tracking of a poll that they've been giving for more than almost 30 years, and it asks the question of how patriotic are you, and if you describe as very or extremely, that's the highline number. That number has been pretty consistent for Republicans, around 90% for about 25 years. Independents and Democrats, it has really trended down over the last about 15 years or so. Even before Trump won, it was still trending down. It's now below 50%, or right around 50%, for both Republicans and both Democrats and Independents, and particularly for young people, millennials and Gen Z. It's like 40% total that say I'm very or extremely patriotic. This horrifies me for the state of our country, the future of our country. Whatever the cause is, that cannot be healthy for us. What do you think?
No, and you know, what this is, like, to me, one of the biggest reasons why the administration has continued to try to find excuses and ways to allow TikTok to exist in the United States. I met a young man the other day. He stops me. He says, he recognizes me that I'm a politician. He's introduced somebody that I'm a member of Congress. We start talking. So I'm thinking, all right, here's a young man. He was 19, I believe. And I said, so how do you consume your news? So where do you get all your news from? Because he's very opinionated.
Yeah.
And it was interesting hearing his political disposition, very opinionated. The only place he got any of his news was from Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Oh. Nowhere else. Oh. I mean, it just doesn't watch anything else. So you've got this generation, just like you were speaking to a second ago, that, you know, if we're allowing that content to get into a mode where it's not patriotic, yeah, we're going to lose that generation because they just don't watch TV news anymore.
Oh, that's no, you're, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I think about the youth and also where they get their information and how that will be a factor in that element of patriotism. So, oh, great. Okay. So the problem's even worse than I thought. Fantastic. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much. Great to see you on Friday, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
All right, brother. I just shot you an email on the space shuttle.
Oh, okay. All right. I will follow up on that. Thank you, because that was a beautiful display. We went to see that last year.